All right, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam. And John Hamer is plugging in with me tonight for a chat. And it's Thursday the 25th here in Sydney, Australia. Thanks for plugging in for Real Independent Media here in Sydney. And John's plugging in from the UK, of course. And it's always great to have John on and get his perspective and cover his fantastic and deep research and books and all the work that he's done in his lifetime, as we go through everything that we're going through now and breaking down this matrix system around us, and tying in John's work. It's really good, you know, the whole history of why this is happening and where we could be going, and just keeping the conversation going, I guess, and offering our two cents, you know, to what's going on, and ideas, and that's why we do these shows. So great to have John on again, and really looking forward, and hope John can continue with our shows into 2022, which is going to be unbelievably interesting as we head very fast, like a steam train, towards the end of this year. It's unbelievable. We're almost in December already. I blinked, and it's a whole year gone. Well, I'll say this first, John, just plug the website. Everything's up on our website, krazfiles.com. And so please enjoy and contact me anytime through the website. And I'll put all John's links and everything, how you can get the books and everything up, of course, with the description and links. And enjoy. There's lots of info going up lately and lots of great podcasts and stuff, and thanks to my members as well. I can't keep a heavy website like that up without you. You can support me over there. Just click on one of the banners and contact me if you need to. I was just going to say, John, it's incredible. We're already 2 years into this psychological dogma or drama. It's like a massive soap opera now. It's just getting more ridiculous by the day, but it's going on, you know, pretty much 2 years since the so-called China virus or whatever, the COVID virus or whatever name they want to come up with, this absolute rubbish. It's going on, you know. I mean, we're getting towards the end of the second year, and I feel like with everything that's happened to us, especially here in Australia, you know, and you know, we've spent most of our life this year in lockdowns, with extreme restrictions and unable to live our lives and all this. And I don't know what everyone's doing, but you just feel like as you get older, you know, you feel that life is so special and important, and that you really want to treasure and enjoy and also manage in a proper way every single second of your day. You know, it's really important. As you know, as you get older, it moves faster. It does. And, you know, when you're concerning your work with you, your work and family and things that you need to do in your life, having this incredible and wonderful experience, you know, as we are, it is such an important thing. And you think, God, you know, it's going on 2 years, and there's a lot of people around the world who have done it so tough. They've pretty much been locked inside with masks on. You know, we've lost 2 years of our lives to this nonsense, and it doesn't look like it's going to go away, you know. And you think, God, do you think about that as well, that this is 2 years that we've had to, as human beings, put up with this absolute utter nonsense because of these wankers with their money and their, you know, at the top of the pyramid, you know, these big companies and these people doing it to us, and these Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and all these characters in the game, they just ruined 2 years of our lives that we can never get back. I mean, every single day is such an important and incredible and magnificent opportunity for us to express ourselves and be who we are and enjoy life and get things done and spend as much time with our families, children, and those around us and do our work. And, you know, I mean, what's this going to go into 2022 now? And this is going to continue as you go into your winter in the UK and we go into our summer in Australia. Now they're taking away all the restrictions like they did with you guys, John. Now they're taking away the QR codes and they're saying, you know, government's your friend. Everything's okay now. We're all good. We want you to have your lives back and your freedom back. We're taking out all the restrictions in the middle of December and you can go anywhere you want and it's all good now. But you just know that coming into Australia's winter next year, they're going to start it up all again, just like they're doing in Europe. and Austria and Germany and all these countries. They won't go away. And now they're engineering more, ridiculous campaigns that there's these more, viruses spreading everywhere that are, going to get us in our coming winters and all of this. It's just absolute nonsense. But I feel like they've drained our lives away for 2 years, mate. Do you get that feeling, or you've been just living your life exactly how you always do it, or you feel like you've had your time stolen?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me back on, Adam.
Good buddy.
It's great to be back again. Yeah, good intro there. I mean, yes, of course, people have had 2 years stolen out of their lives, but I mean, of course, it's not over yet. I mean, this is just the beginning. I'm very sad to say. I mean, they follow in the Rockefeller lockstep document almost exactly. For those who aren't aware of that, this is a document that was published in 2010, and it laid out that what's going on now exactly. So we know it's all fake. We know it's all a scam. But yeah, I mean, absolutely, it's been 2 years lost. I mean, personally speaking, I just carried on with my life as best as I could. I think I've said this before on the show, but I ignored everything. I ignored all the travel restrictions. I ignored all the stay at home orders. I just carried on as though nothing had changed, and I never got challenged once. And I think, to be fair, I think it's been a lot worse for you guys over there than it has been for the UK. I mean, it's been pretty bad at times, but certainly not as bad as you guys have had it. And at the moment, we are relatively free. But even whilst we're free, there's all sorts of murmurings constantly from government and from the media especially, about, more scaremongering tactics, infections are increasing, deaths are increasing, new variants are coming, all this bullshit, it's just really a way of controlling everyone. Fear is the key, and fear is the control mechanism, isn't it? So who knows what delights are in store for us in the next few months. But it's, again, I don't want to, put a dampener on things, but this is certainly not over by a very, very long way yet. If they get their own way, this is going to go on for another 3-4 years, and then it's going to be replaced by something else, because who knows exactly where things are going to be in 3 or 4 years time. Maybe the populations, because of the vaccines, will have gone right down, as a lot of the trends forecasting websites are predicting, that, for example, the UK population is only going to be about 20 million in 2025. That's a reduction of, I can't think of the percentage, but it's currently about 66, 67 million. So I'm sure you guys out there can work that out yourselves. So this is what they're telling us is going to happen. But who knows, really? I think at the moment they're just kind of making it up as they go along, to be honest, Adam, and just reacting to the way that the populations are reacting. They do have a firm plan, I think, but it's very much kind of a rolling plan. They will come up with some horror or other draconian measure. And then they'll see how the public reacts, and then they will react to that accordingly. And I think there's a bit of that going on at the moment. But there is this basic plan, this Rockefeller lockstep document that they're following.
Yeah, and definitely are. Yeah, it's unbelievable. And of course, you're referring to the coronavirus mutations are being detected again. It's hilarious. Yeah. How anybody even buys any of this. They've detected the coronavirus mutation. It doesn't matter, John, that the original one never, ever, ever was proven to exist or isolated in any possible way. And they keep telling you that the variants, which are weaker, and they admit that, they're telling you that these new variants are going to be much worse, while they're telling you that they're weaker. So they defeat their own stories there. It's absolutely ridiculous. So they're telling us in Botswana and South Africa and Hong Kong, they're raising concerns about these new variants with extremely long branches, they say, and high amounts of spike mutations. You know, they've got all these news articles coming out now with, like, bodies underneath sheets and things. They started doing that again, you know, with just, like, there's, like, a... you know, a theater or a hospital room with a supposedly a body under a sheet, and they've just taken this perfect photo. You know, they're doing those again. It's just, they seem to be going full circle in a way, and you know, coming back again to exactly what they did before, but they're just saying they're variants now. So it's a strange game that they're playing, but they're definitely doing it, and they really step things up in places like Austria, didn't they? Have you looked at that situation, John? And it seems like in Germany and other countries, they're starting to do what they've been doing here as well. But it's very interesting, and I would have to keep with my initial and original study and ideas that the inoculations, as people go on through months and into the year and get more, and people start getting boosters, that you're going to start getting a lot of sick people and people who are getting sick and dying, and that obviously these so-called variants are going to be blamed on that, and that will spook more people who haven't done their research and have no idea that the original inoculations will trigger the, you know, actual pandemic. But the actual pandemic won't be from any virus. It will be because people are getting sick from the inoculations they were given and dying. But people will be scared of that and think that it is a virus, and that will trigger more people to get injections as we go down in that tailspin. So, you know, I initially thought, well, are they really going to go that way? But it really seems that they are. It seems that they're going to try and cover all the injuries. They're trying to do it in Australia because we're starting to see it now. We're behind you guys. We're behind the world. We had this later, but you're already starting to see. There's already been, John, 10,000, and it would be, I reckon it's more than double of that, but they're admitting 10,000 Australians who have been injured by the vaccines are wanting compensation now. So this is going to be ginormous as this builds. We have had a lot more deaths and injuries, and we're also hearing many, many reports of people being injured straight after the jabs or getting, you know, all sorts of conditions. A lot of inflammation around the heart, myocarditis and pericarditis, and these inflammation issues, which is terrible, terrifying. And their doctors are not reporting this as an adverse event or reaction to the COVID-19 jabs, to the TGA, the Therapeutic Goods Administration in Australia, to the authorities. You know, they're not signing it off on it. They're only doing maybe just ones here and there, and people are asking why you're not doing that. So we're not hearing the real story. And a lot of people are talking about all the ambulances you hear all day. I'm seeing them all day again today. They're whizzing past and around. You can't miss it. So we're getting also whistleblowers, John, in Australia, nurses around the country who are openly saying, I mean, these are very experienced nurses who have been in the industry for, you know, 20, 30, 45 years. And they're saying that all the hospitals are filling up. They're clearly saying it, that all the hospitals are filling up, not with the unvaccinated, like they're trying to tell us in the lamestream media, but they're filling up with the vaccinated, who have shocking injuries. So this is what we're seeing. So their cover story are obviously going to be these variants. But where they take this, we don't know. And how serious it gets, we don't know. But we can see this has, would you agree, John, changed quite severely if we're looking at Austria and these countries? And does it seem to you maybe they're trying to push some kind of civil war situation where they may be able to implement martial law or something like that? Would this be in the lockstep documents, martial law?
I can't remember actually whether that's in
there. I was just wondering,
But I think what, you know, we all need to remember is that this is not about any pandemic at all. This is about, it's purely about getting these poisons into people's bodies. That's what it's about. And that's why they have come up with the idea of this fake pandemic. It's so that that gives them a great reason or a great excuse to pump us full of all the shite that's contained in these vaccines, you know, stuff like graphene oxide, you know, carcinogens and all the rest of it. Because, you know, don't forget, these people are eugenicists, and what they're trying to achieve is a much, much reduced world population. That's really what it's about. That's why they push the vaccine so much, not because they care about us. They don't give a crap about us. Not absolutely not at all. In any way, shape, or form do they care about us, we the great unwashed. This is about getting that poisonous vaccine into your bodies. And that's why Austria has become the first country in the world now, closely followed by Germany, apparently, to mandate the vaccines. Now, to me, if it was such a terrible situation that we're in, that they needed to mandate the vaccines, then wouldn't you do it immediately? Why would you say this is from February next year? Well, my view on that, Adam, I might be completely off beam on it, but my view on it is because it's just a test. They want to test the reaction. They want to gauge the public reaction. So they're giving themselves a few weeks, few months, to actually allow that to sink in and see what pushback they get. And again, it comes back to what I was saying before. Based on whatever pushback they get from that, you know, they will tailor their next step accordingly. Now, it may well be that Austria comes to a grinding halt and it just becomes impossible to mandate it, in which case they'll move the goalposts and change it. But this to me is what it's all about. It's not, you know, they've made this big bold announcement about mandating vaccines. I just think they're trying to see how much they can get away with, and if there's, you know, a controllable amount of pushback, then they'll go ahead with it. I've no doubt. But, you know, I think if Austria protests, and it is doing by all accounts, I've not seen any major evidence of it, but apparently I've heard rumours that it is going down pretty badly in Austria, as you'd imagine. Then, you know, who knows what they're going to do? But it's a fluid thing. This, it's changing as the you know, as time goes on and people's reaction changes, then they change their plans slightly. They don't deviate too much, but it's just a kind of a suck it and see situation all along. But yeah, you're absolutely right about you know, the whistleblowers and the, you know, the, it's the same over here. You know, lots of medical staff are coming out and saying that, you know, that yes, the hospitals are getting full, but it's of the vaccinated, not of the unvaccinated, despite what the media are saying. But I think I'm right in saying that it's actually been mandated that all NHS staff, the medical industry staff, have to be vaccinated from a certain point in time. And now there's a massive pushback against that. See, so again, it's them testing the water. They make these pronouncements and they just see how it goes. But again, there's a massive pushback against that. And, you know, we'll just have to see how that develops, basically. But it's this constant fluid thing, and they're constantly pushing and testing, you know, our reactions. And then based on those reactions, they are developing their plan as they go forward. You know, it's just plan, if you like, to push that way.
Yeah, I would have to 100% agree with you on that. Just looking at it myself as well, and seeing this happen in Australia, it definitely is. I mean, it was crazy. I went to the Sydney rallies last Saturday, and it's a big protest in Sydney. It was all over the country. I mean, we're hearing 500,000 in Victoria, in Melbourne. I don't know if that's true, but it was big all around the country, and the media are, of course, John, telling us that it was a few thousand, you know, as they do. But I went to Sydney one, and you have some, you know, new political party figures who are coming out very strong, talking there, and turned up there, and I didn't expect that in a million years. I mean, it was just immense. It's huge. I mean, there would have to have been a few hundred thousand there, a couple hundred thousand or so, and it's going to be bigger this weekend. And it was really amazing. Because where I grew up around this area, people are just getting their jabs and you know, they're just idiots. They really are. A lot of people coming from around Sydney and Sydney West there, and it was just huge. And that's why I said, if you're feeling lonely, or what they're doing in Australia is they're lying about the inoculation numbers, you know. So they're saying, we're 90% now, we're 90%, you know. And I think this is a tactic among many to make people feel isolated and lonely. So you want to get on the ship and, you know, you feel like you're isolated because everyone's getting the jab and you're not. So they keep with this. I mean, there's no way in New South Wales where I live that there's 95 or 90% double dosed. That's ridiculous. I mean, it's absolutely not that. And they're putting out articles just in New South Wales. They're saying nearly 60,000 people have not returned for their second doses. So they're you know, it's like, from what I know, a lot of people, most people have had one and they're not going back again for their second ones. And it was an amazing day, John. It was one of the most amazing days I've ever had. As soon as we got there, it was just incredible. I mean, you got, you know, 150,000 people or 200,000 people in this place, you know. And there's just the speeches, and you could turn around and talk to people like us. You could have conversations like I am with you, with anybody around you. Everybody just got it. And
well, just those numbers alone, Adam, tells you that the vaccination, I mean, those people that were there are not going to be vaccinated, are they? Because
A lot are. People got up speeches and said, I'm vaccinated. Yeah, no, what they're trying to do is they're trying to cause division. They're trying to cause hatred in the community. The Australian mainstream media are doing it. The morning breakfast shows are doing it. They're doing it on the radios. They're trying to get people to hate one another if you have or you haven't, as you know. So it's a classic game. And they know this, and people were talking about it. And you had like 100,000 people booing the Australian media. John, it was pretty unbelievable moment because the Channel 7 helicopters were above and it was just this massive boo. My little one had to cover her ears, you know, it was so loud. And, you know, it's phenomenal to see. And then, you know, so you've got such disrespect and just utter hatred, and there's just no confidence or trust in the media here in this country anymore. They don't even go into the events to speak to people and talk with people about their concerns. They're not on the ground. They hang around the outsides of the protests. They hang in the air, and they go and chop stuff and make people look crazy and say there was only a few thousand there. And so you're in the middle of Sydney, in the middle of the day, you've got, you know, tens of thousands of people booing the media in this country. And then the very next day, that same media come out and lie about everything. So you can see there's no hope for these people. They're just... they're the scum of the earth, and they have no regard or respect or soul or anything. So it's great to see people just moving forward here and being just marching with that amount of people and seeing those speeches and political figures and people and military and people who have served the country and ex-cops and nurses and all sorts of people getting up there, pouring their hearts out, nearly crying in front of these people. And, seeing the bagpipes, lead the procession down with the flags. It was an amazing day, and so much pretty heavy information came out as well about pedophilia in the Australian government. There's apparently a list, John, that has been suppressed by our government for like 90 years. And there's a former prime minister on that list. It's a pedophile list. And there's nearly 30 of them. We know a lot of them, but this one list is very, very, very sensitive, and they're trying to suppress it, and everyone's talking about it. And I found this this day very, very good because it was mostly about our children. People want to protect our kids, and they're sick of this, and they had enough. And it was and it happened all around the country. And I think we were well over a million nationwide, and it's going to be bigger this weekend. And there was no fakeness there. There was it was just people wanting an end to this, and I could feel the heat. In the crowd and the energy, and that people are working together as one, and they're really clued on here. They really can understand the ball game a lot more, and they know that this is all bullshit. So it was a really great day. It really was, and it opened my eyes a lot. So it was, I know that's happened in London and the UK as well. So I think it's just going to get bigger here. I think that we could really make a change in Australia after being, you know, having things so bad for us. I think that we could be a country that really shows the world here. So it's continuing, and we're going to see how it goes. But a great day. Really enjoyed that. And you could turn around, as I said, John, and speak to people like yourself or whatever and just spark up conversations, and they bloody get it. Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah.
Good energy.
Yeah, I mean, I take your point about, yeah, there probably were people who were vaccinated, but I guess they're people who got vaccinated initially and then realised that, you know,
there's
oh,
six
dear,
coming.
what a mistake I've made or whatever. And
yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, what you're saying about the media, I mean, the media are just incredible. I mean, they never, ever mention anything that contradicts the agenda, you know, so there's never any debate. You know, one time the media used to be kind of I know it's always been terrible, but I mean, it's really bad now. But at one time, you would occasionally get both sides of the coin. You know, you get two people on debating an issue. You don't get that now at all. If you don't go along with the agenda, then you're not allowed on the media. And that's it. All it's just total 24/7 wall-to-wall propaganda. Everything is all agenda-driven. It's all about, just pushing that narrative constantly, and they won't allow any cracks to appear in that narrative at all. You know, there's nobody's allowed to appear on TV or radio or in the newspapers that says anything about coronavirus not being as it's purported to be. They just don't allow that at all anymore. If they did in the past, which I think they did to a certain extent. But you're right about the paedophilia stuff. I mean, that's why, that's how they control politicians, basically, through paedophilia. You know, I'm not saying they're all paedophiles. That would be wrong to say that. But a lot of them are. And this is how they are coerced and bribed into taking the stance that they do. You know, I'm not familiar with, Australian politicians, but you know, one that seems to stand out more than any other is that guy Dan Andrews. I mean, that man is an absolute demon. He can't possibly believe what he's saying or believe that what he's doing is right. He can't. I mean, he's almost like a caricature, isn't he? It's just so ridiculous, the stuff that he comes out with. And I know you're going to probably tell me that, well, he's just one of a load of them, they're all doing the same thing, but he's the only one that's kind of become prominent in the UK, you know, because of what he seems to be a little more extreme than others.
Territory guy seems like he's going to outdo Andrews.
Oh, really? Okay. what's his name?
Michael Gunner. He's the guy in Northern Territory that's...
Right. Okay. No, I'm not aware of him, but yeah.
Yeah, the indigenous Aboriginal Australians are apparently being rounded up by the Defence Force. That's what we're hearing. So that's gone all around the world. So this guy's gone bananas. He's labelling everybody anti-vax. So he's saying if you've had one or two jabs or three jabs or you haven't, it doesn't matter if you don't do what he says or agree with him, you're an anti-vaxxer. And now today he's come out and calling people tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists, nutters, and this idiot. Incidentally, there was a very interesting social media video, John, of Daniel Andrews about to come to the podium to do one of his press conferences, and it clearly looks like he's sniffing something. It's a very interesting video. He's got his back turned and you can see him fiddling with something, and he lifts his arm up and seems to tilt his head back a bit, and then he puts it in his pocket and he comes around. So God knows what he's on. But
glue.
Yeah, it'd have to be some strong, but they're completely compromised assholes. And, they obviously got a job to do, as we talked about, and they're doing it, you know. And it's they're becoming irrelevant now. As I think, apparently, according to some indigenous elders today, and I don't know if I sent you that video. It's very interesting. They're creating their own government now. Things are really changing fast. There's some very positive things coming. I think there's some big changes coming in Australia just because of how we do things here, and things are quite different. It's only early days, but apparently Daniel Andrews was served. And I didn't know if that was true, but he seemed to confirm it, that he's being served and up for treason. So that's coming in December sometime. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I can't see them getting away with this for much longer. It's just the heat is too heavy now in this country. It's just, it's white hot. I've not really seen protests and people getting involved like anywhere like this. It's going to be a very interesting end of this year in this country.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a war going on, isn't there? It's rapidly developing and descending into a situation where it is us against them, isn't it?
It is. But there are laws. They have to pay.
Yeah. There's a massive polarization of society, you know. Yes. Well, I'm noticing here anyway. Mm. And, you know, I think they're probably doing it on purpose. I think, because they're Satanists. I mean, let's not get away from that idea either. Because, you know, their motto is Ordo Ab Chao, which translates as from Latin as order from chaos, and that's what they're doing. They're destroying society in order to rebuild it, you know, in the way that they want it to be, which is basically communism, I'm sad to say. And this is what we're seeing is communism in action, absolutely. And you get all these slogans like build back better, and you know, because they want to destroy society and rebuild it in the fashion that suits them. And that's what the Satanist motto, Ordo Ab Chao, is all about. And this is what they're following to the letter, you know.
Yeah, and it's really interesting at the Sydney protests, you know, it's changing very fast because you have people in there who have groups who are watching for anyone who's trying to cause trouble with the police. And I think the events were so big in Melbourne that suddenly we've had these weirdo Black Lives Matter people who don't give a stuff about the Indigenous people of our land with the military and what's going on there. They couldn't care less. They're trying to cause trouble. There was maybe 100 of them. We had a few hundred thousand people marching there, but there was another protest last Saturday on the same day with a whole bunch of these leftist morons in masks. These Antifa, domestic terror.
Communist domestic terrorist
groups, yeah.
It's all controlled opposition, though, Adam. I mean, it is all controlled
opposition. All controlled opposition to cause violence.
These people are not, they're not an independent, run by the people kind of organization. These are run from the very top, these people, and they know exactly what they're doing.
Is this, John, you reckon, Israeli intelligence, these Antifa groups and stuff? Does it go deeper?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, isn't it? I mean, I couldn't swear on that, but yeah, I mean, it's very possible that somehow Israel is involved, because, I mean, this is,
there's a few characters.
Down another group completely hijacking the conversation. We all know, where Israel stands in the world, Israel, the US and the UK, which basically is the triumvirate of evil, as far as I'm concerned. And, it's through those three powers that the political world is run, isn't it? So, yeah, it could well be something to do with that. Yeah.
It's just to back up your point there of that you made earlier of a test, I really did see that. It's crazy. I don't understand how this has happened, because it just seemed like not long ago that we had protests in Sydney, and I went there, and it was big and it was great, but the police were horrible. They were attacking people earlier. These were under the state of emergency lockdowns. So you had police, really causing trouble. And when you go to an event like I did the other day with these hundreds of thousands of people, and the police are standing back, you can see that there's no violence, there's no issues, there's families and kids there, and the whole day goes off without a problem, and everyone gets to have their say, and it's a great event. But you can see clearly in all over the country and Australia that if there is violence, it's the police always, because they Absolutely. Come in and grab someone and put their knee in their back and that's it. And they cause this dreadful atmosphere, you know, and they put negativity yeah. into the event, and they can do it if they want to, but it's really amazing that it only seems like a month or so ago and they were, you know, terrorizing people and then scared the hell out of everyone. And then there was supposed to be another event and they just locked Sydney off like a prison. They locked all the public transport down. No one could get in or out. They were questioning every car and yeah. they shut it all off. And now suddenly they've come out and said that it's okay to protest. This is the event has been given the okay by the government. If you're unvaccinated, you can go, and the police stand down. And I went there. I was standing behind what's called the Raptor Squad. You know, huge guys. They're like emergency response squads. You know, and they're all just standing there all day. Looking around. I was walking around. They're all got their hands behind their backs, or they're eating peanuts, or just talking. <young. laughs> And I'm thinking, hang on. You know, barely a month ago, whatever it was, they were attacking everybody under the state of emergency laws, and now they're just standing there letting it go. And someone told me, you know, perhaps this is a way to get information and, you know, test. You know, they're testing to see how many people are coming in, what they're doing, everything. You know, you just get that feeling that everything's part of a test here because it changes overnight. So you've got, you know, maybe 400,000 or 500,000 people in Melbourne. And then not long ago, we saw what the police were doing, the riot squads and counter-terrorism units, and firing on people with rubber bullets and tear gassing everybody and attacking people, breaking people's limbs, just terrorizing protesters.
Being, violent protesters, doesn't
yeah, that yeah, and the media love that because they label everyone conspiracy theorists and anti-vaxxers and violent extremists. But when yeah. you see that the protests are just allowed to go ahead and people can march to Parliament and have their say, there's not a problem. No one's violent. Nobody is. And everybody knows that now. It's the police that are doing it. But I just got that feeling that they're testing, you know, they're just seeing how many people are there. And, you know, as this moves forward and what they need to do to manage that, you know, but the protests, when people are left to come in and they're not scared and they can bring their families and everybody can go, and that's what's happening this weekend, they're just doubling in size. But once the police come in and attack people, they dwindle off and the next ones are smaller, you know, because people really do get terrified by the police. They terrify people. But in Australia, it seems to be all about the State of Emergency Powers Act, John, which is very interesting thing, because it seems to me that in New South Wales, where I am, around the middle, they're saying that on the 15th of December, which is my birthday, the unvaccinated can go back and do whatever they want. And then they're saying after that, they're taking out all the QR coding and everything's going, and it's up to the businesses if they want to stop.
Exactly what they did here in July,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, exactly the same as the UK. They're doing that now, and everything's going to be taken out because those Emergency Powers Act laws can't be extended anymore. But when they're active, yeah, the police, it's terrible. It's a whole different story. It's like martial law. You don't have any rights. But now apparently that they can't extend them anymore, you know, we can go back and... and do whatever the hell we like. It's very strange days, isn't it? And I was
yeah.
talking about this on other podcasts that the police, John, there's no in between. It's just black and white with them. I know it sounds strange. To me, they're like dolls or toys with good and evil or on and off switch on their back of their necks. It's like they just follow orders. It's really weird. How can they be out punching and attacking people one day and the next day standing there with their hands behind their back? So, you know, to me, I just never trust them again because I just find it unbelievable. They're attacking people and then they're letting people protest. It just depends on, you know, what the orders are. As soon as the orders come through, they just turn violent again. So it's black and white with them. You can't argue with them. It's just this, yes or no. They're really funny. You get some police who seem to understand, and this, I know a lot of police officers are taking leave. They're under stress and they don't like doing this, but it's just crazy to watch that, how they act. It's really amazing. Just 1 minute violence and the next minute you're all good. They're waving and how are you going? Or, you know, they're really nice to you. And, you know, the kids are waving to the police officers on the horses, you know, or good thumbs up. And then the next day they're bashing people. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, that, I understand what you're saying, and you know, you're absolutely right, and I think that is kind of the psychological torture that you know is part of the psychological torture we're all being put through. It's they're always offering us concessions and then taking them away, offering us concessions, taking them away. It's a kind of similar sort of process, you know, so that you don't know whether the police on from one day to the next are going to be, you know, on your side, or whether they're going to be beating you about the head with a baton, or, you know, it's that constantly keeping us in a state of not knowing where we stand, and that is a kind of psychological torture. And this is how, you know, torturers at places like Guantanamo Bay work. You know, it's constantly, you don't know any particular day, given day, what to expect. Are they going to be nice to me today? Are they going to be bad to me today? You know, it's that not knowing, and it's that which causes severe trauma in people, and they know this. It's like the old good cop, bad cop thing. You know, when you're being interrogated, you get two cops. One of them is really nice to you and very low, you know, and the other one is like threatening to beat you up. It's that, and they know this. It's a psychological a procedure that they use, which unsettles people and it kind of dumbs you down, makes you compliant, because, you know, it's a scary situation, and this is, it's just part of that. I think that is exactly why they do it, so you don't know from one day to the next where you stand.
Yeah, psychological warfare, isn't it?
Yeah.
Been like that since day one, this whole operation. So it's
definitely, they, you know, for example, over here, you know, especially last year, it's not been as bad this year, but last year when things were really bad over here, you know, they were constantly saying, oh yeah, well, don't worry, by such and such a date we'll be able to ease things off, and then they snatch it away from you at the last minute. You know, it's constantly, it's playing with your mind all the time, and making you malleable and susceptible to being manipulated. It's just a well-known psychological issue. I mean, I've got a degree in psychology, so, you know, I learned all about this stuff. You know, and so yeah, it's just common or garden psychology that they're using against us all the time, because don't forget, these people are masters of manipulation of the human psyche. They know which levers to pull, which buttons to press, to get the results that they want, and they do it all the time. They're masters at it.
How big would you say in psychology and these kinds of deep operations where they are scaring the public and doing all this stuff we're talking about is fear in this? I mean,
yeah,
this is really what drives it all, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, they use fear as a weapon all the time.
It really is weaponized, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, John, quickly, you can see people being scared, and it was amazing. Like, I just got petrol yesterday at a service station. There was a police officer there with the car, and he was he pulled someone in the service station and was doing something, and I got my petrol, I walked in and out with no mask or QR code, and he was sitting right there, and I don't know, it's just I'm like what you said, I've just done what I've wanted the whole time, but so many people are so scared, and many people around here are double vaxxed and they're still in masks, and the government are pretty much saying now you don't have to wear them, and we're going to take all that out. And so, you know, you just see these people in their cars with masks. They're still not sure. And even when the government, it's going to get to the point where they say, look, you don't need them anymore. And they're going to have to be taken through baby steps. It's just like they're going to continue to wear the masks. It's just like they've been so psychologically traumatized that it seemed like they're going to wear them forever. And it's like,
yeah.
They're so worried all the time, you know?
There's no mask mandates at all now. You can go anywhere you like.
Still wearing
without
them.
A mask, indoors or outdoors. But even so, there are still notices in shops, you know, oh, please be considerate and wear a mask. You know you don't have to wear it, but we would prefer it if you did, kind of thing. And there are people who are still walking about in the streets wearing masks, believe it or not, even though they're not mandated either indoors or outdoors. You see people driving past in their own cars, sat on their own in a car with a mask on. I mean, what's that all about? It's about fear, isn't it? They've been so traumatized by this stuff. You know, that they believe that this virus is somehow it's in the air everywhere, and you know we've got to wear these masks because goodness knows when it's going to strike, you know. And yet the CDC have actually come out and said this virus is not airborne. I mean, the CDC has actually said that, and yet still we go on with this mask nonsense, you know. Yeah, I mean, words fail me, you know.
I had an elderly lady the other day. I was dropping off a printer to be recycled at this place, and she was coming towards me. She must have been maybe 75 or something, and she had a mask on, and it was raining. Yeah. She had a rain jacket, and as I was walking towards her, she actually pulled the rain jacket over her head. So I went past, yeah. And I kind of went like, wow. Boo. And she laughed at me. I said, there's nothing to worry about, dear. What are you doing, you know? And she stumbled off, but she actually pulled her rain jacket over her face as she walked past me. Yeah. Like, and she had a mask on. Like, oh, no, there's a human being coming with no mask on. Look.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Well, last year, when the lockdowns first started and all this fear nonsense started, you could be walking down the street in the 1 hour that you're allowed out every day, and people on the pavement would actually jump into the road to avoid you.
They do the circle around you?
Yeah, but jumping into the road, and there were cars coming and things like that.
They're walking into incoming traffic.
Yeah.
But they're worried about you, so they're not looking at the cars coming down the road.
Exactly.
Which is going to kill them.
That happened loads of times, you know, so it's just, yeah, I just kept thinking, bloody hell, the world's gone mad, hasn't it? But at least that seems to have stopped, which is probably a good thing.
Well, I would assume, like, your big events that you have over there, especially with the football, you know, the big football games you have, there's just, when I watch them sometimes here, some of the big games, you know, Manchester United or Liverpool, whatever, you watch those games, you can see how many people, like 60, 70,000 people in a stadium, they're all drinking lagers and, you know, plastic cups of beer and waving the flag and screaming and ranting and raving. I mean, I mean, they must be getting it, right? That there's no virus. Because...
Well, exactly. Well, I said to my mate here, and that, when you walk down the street, anybody to me who isn't, especially when you go in shops and, you know, restaurants and pubs and stuff, anybody who isn't wearing a mask in that environment doesn't believe it, do they? I mean, they can't do, otherwise they'd all be masked up. They cannot believe that there is this dangerous virus around, otherwise they would still be masked up.
Yeah. That's right.
If that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's like warfare. I think people are getting it. I mean, I was at a rally with, 100,000+ people, and not one mask really that I saw. Not one.
Exactly.
Everybody's. And as I've said before, John, being in big crowds like this when you do these kinds of activities exposes the lie. Because this is why I feel like they've been trying to isolate us and get us to stay at home. Because when people are isolated and made to stay home and quarantine in their house and you can't come out, then what are you going to do? What are you more likely to do a lot of, or watch the TV? So they're locking us in our houses in front of the TVs, and they know we're going to turn on the news to see what the news is and what they want us to do and everything, and you're watching all this propaganda and fear-mongering. But when you start getting out with thousands and thousands of people, it exposes the lie. because no one around you is getting sick. And, you know, if you look at Australia, and then, I mean, it's absolutely, it's insane, John. We're hearing another case of in Byron Bay, which is a beautiful area in New South Wales, up the north coast from me, about 10 hours away. And what they're saying now in the news, that they've locked down a backpacker hostel with like 70-something people in there who apparently are all vaccinated. There was a case, the government says there's a case there, so they've locked down the whole place. They've locked them in there. And we get this with the Northern Territory. This guy, Michael Gunner, he's telling us that one or two Indigenous people in extremely remote communities have COVID. And so it's the end of the world. And we're hearing that they're going in there and removing these people and taking them to Howard Springs quarantine facility, which is a prison. And this is all the news that has exploded, and that he called the Prime Minister and he allowed the ADF, the Australian Defence Force, to go in there and remove these people. And now we're hearing of terrible things. And that's what we're hearing. We're hearing that they're going into communities, cutting the power, all of this, and they're force vaccinating people. Others are saying that they're scaring people into getting the jabs. We're hearing that many, many people are being taken to these facilities. He's come out today and say that that's not true. They're unarmed. They're just helping with food and water and everything. So we still don't know what's happening in these very extremely remote Indigenous communities in Australia. But what we do know is it's gone all around the world. And the reputation of the Northern Territory government, of the Australian government, and unfortunately our Defence Force, is dog shit now. And again, I mean, this guy should be instantly stood down no matter what, because this is an extremely sensitive situation when you're dealing with the Indigenous Aboriginal people and elders and stuff, who are screaming out that they're causing genocide and they're injecting people without their consent. So we don't still know to this day, I'm trying to follow it, what is actually going on. But he's coming out and saying that that's not true. So, you know, God knows what is happening in the area. But the initial situation, John, is that caused all of this. All of this is that a couple of Indigenous people have COVID and they've done all this. So you would look at that and think, well, this is a catastrophe, you know. This virus is, you know, this is like one of those Hollywood movies, you know, Contagion. This is the end of the world, and if you get this virus, you are dead. I mean, from the way that the government are acting, you know what I mean? I mean, if you come into contact with this virus, your whole community is dead. Everyone is gone. You're finished. But that isn't happening. On it all, you know, it's all make believe. There's nothing there. There's nothing to fear, folks. It's all just engineered. It's a psyop, and it's all done to scare people. And they're still doing it in Australia. That's what I'm saying. They're still doing it in Australia. They're still locking down apartment blocks because of one case. It's this knee-jerk, over-the-top, on steroids, ridiculous nonsense reaction that they're doing. Maybe that's to make people believe there is a virus, when so many people are starting to think that there isn't. And I just think to myself, I do not know how much longer they can continue with this utter scam. And so probably they're just waiting for people to start getting sick from the jabs so they can blame it on them that there really is a virus. But I think we're getting enough information out, John, that people are starting to see that as well. So I don't know where they're gonna go with this scam. And maybe they're gonna change it. But it is very, very interesting. I was watching a video today from Finland, John, and an interview, and a man was saying that you're going to get so many people who are so angry and upset because they're basically being told now that the two jabs that they have don't matter unless they get the third. You know,
just
that,
kind of going on.
Yeah, and so these people are going to say, what? You know, and that's what's happening in Australia. They've just started the boosters. And they're saying they're trying to bring in that, you know, that, and they're doing it in Israel and many countries. So if you don't get your one and two or your three, then you don't get the fourth, and your other ones, you didn't get them. And now I can already see that they're starting to treat the people who have been vaccinated poorly. Like they've got no rights as well. And this is what we're hearing in the Northern Territory, that people who are vaccinated or not vaccinated are being taken to the quarantine facilities regardless. So what they're doing in Australia now is they're saying that if you are associated or you know people who they say are infected, we're taking you as well. And they're also using the QR coding. If you were at a supermarket or something, John, and people, they say people were infected there, they'll contact you and say, you have to come here. We're going to come and pick you up, you know? So this is why it's so important, folks, not to QR code and use cash if you are in stores and don't take your phone. Yes, John, that's what I'm saying. So you would think that it was the most deadly virus ever, but there isn't actually anything there. It's all made up. Wow.
Well, even by their definition of it, you know, it's got a 0.03% death rate, you know. So, you know, they actually admit that that's what the figure is, 0.03% death rate. So,
and the variants are weaker.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting to say about, you know, the fact that people are, it's the actual... Now they're being forced into this booster. It's going to wake people up. It's going to wake more and more people up, and people are more waking up a lot more. I thought I would mention, actually, that earlier this week, I saw a video. It was actually in foreign language, no subtitles, but there was a transcript underneath it. And what it was this lady, this Slovenian lady, who worked in the medical industry over there. And she has exposed the fact that all the virus batches, all the labels on the vaccine batches are coded, and they're coded, and they're actually three distinctly different vaccines that people are being given. Now, whether it's random or whether it's planned, I don't know. But basically, the three distinctions in the vaccines are, according to this lady, number one, anything that's coded with this number one is a placebo. So this is what's being given to the Polish politicians and all the rest of it. You know, when you see them being, vaccinated live on TV and all this crap. Number two is the one that contains the graphene oxide, and that's the one that is gonna deal with the transhumanism element of all this. You know, it's not going to definitely kill people, but it's going to make us, you know, more susceptible to being remote controlled. You know, all that good stuff. And the third one is the killer jab, the one that's coded number three, that's got all the carcinogens in it and all the really nasty stuff. So there are three distinct categories of vaccine, and they know which ones they're giving to who. So, you know, how random that is, I don't know. Whether it's all carefully, meticulously planned, I don't know. Mm. But that's what this lady was saying. And she seemed very credible, you know, even though I couldn't understand what she was saying. You know, the text was underneath. And, it sounded plausible. And, you know, it showed the labels and everything. I thought to myself, because I've been puzzling about this, Adam, for a while. You know, they can't just kill everybody all off at once, can they? You know, they can't. People say, oh, well, the vaccines are a deadly killer, a deadly poison. Well, they can't do that, because everyone who had the vaccine would die otherwise, wouldn't they? And you know, there's got to be some kind of control over it, even if it's only a kind of a loose control. I don't know what you might think about that, but it certainly seemed plausible to me, and it would explain, you know, why... People aren't. I know people are dying, but not everybody is dying, are they?
That's right. I think I don't know if you read the expose in the UK. It's a really good publication, an alternative media one.
No.
I'll send you the link through anyway. It's the Daily Expose UK. It's a great new publication that they really, they're exposing. All the data, so it's the real deal. It's very, very good information, but I'm sure, I don't have it in front of me, but I'm sure they put out an article where they were looking at that similar subject that you're talking about with the batch numbers and everything. Okay. With Pfizer jabs, and they they conclusively showed that there are placebos and all the numbers and everything like that. So it's a very strange thing, isn't it? Because as you said, you know, you don't want everybody getting poisoned at the one time and dropping off like flies. And a lot of people, they hear that these inoculations are dangerous and bad, and then they finally get theirs and they say, I feel absolutely fine. And they tell their friends and everything like that. I mean, you know, I have a friend just recently who got his second dose and he said, I'd never feel better. Oh, Pfizer, right. You know, I'm like, my. And then you're hearing about people just, you know, having strokes and, you know, seizures. And, you know, you see these videos that have gone up with these hundreds of cases. You can see people going up for their jabs and you see someone get it and they're just flopping around like a fish out of water on the floor. It's very strange how some people say, I feel absolutely fine, and others have immediate reactions. And we've had heaps of them in Australia, like actual strokes and things. And then others become sick over time. I'm hearing of people now who have had the two doses and okay, of AstraZeneca, for example, and then they've just had their booster and they've been covered in a rash and everything like that. So you've got all these extreme reactions, which you just can't put your finger on. You know, it's not the one thing. It's all over the shop. Some people feel great even after their second dose. And then some are having terrible reactions and even dying on the first dose. Some feel great on the first dose. And then 2 weeks after the second, they're feeling ill and getting sick and having strokes. It's crazy. So it seems like all this data and all of these reactions and all of this is being logged. And this does mean something to the creatures who are running all this system. It's obviously a massive global experiment as we move forward here. And God knows, John, where they're going to take it. But they can't just keep giving people injections for their entire life. We're not pincushions, so I've seen the new Pfizer mists sprays or something, maybe under the tongue they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do. But what came out from some of these publications is that a lot of people seem to be getting I brought this up a while ago, that they're telling us now in the media, and it kept popping up, that people who are being given these injections are getting AIDS. That's what's coming up in a lot of alternative media. And I thought, well, AIDS isn't real. You know, HIV causing AIDS has never been isolated as another boogeyman virus. And if you look at HIV, even in the late 70s in America, in San Francisco and New York, there is very high evidence that homosexual men were being experimented on with inoculations, maybe Hep B ones or something like that. And of course the AIDS drugs they brought out and took to Africa and convinced them that they had AIDS, they got sick from the drugs. So again, just like the Spanish flu, the inoculations or the drugs cause the pandemics. We always cover this, but it's a really strange one, isn't it? And I looked at that and I thought, well, now they're kind of saying that there's this whole immune dysfunction or thing going on with people who have had the inoculations, that, you know, by the time the next winter comes around, they've got no immunity and, you know, everything's making them sick. We've got a whole population of bubble boys, basically. So, you know, I really don't know, John, if people who have had those inoculations, if they did get saline water, or eventually, you know, they are going to be made sick, and I'm not sure what doses they're being given and how it works. It's really crazy. You know, it's something that we're learning each day, isn't it?
Exactly. Time will tell, obviously. But as I said, that video did seem quite plausible. But who really knows? You know, we're being kept totally in the dark about everything. You know, we're there's a lot of speculation going on about this and that and the other, but we can't really know. But as you say, time will tell, won't it? And, you know, it's not good, but... All people say to me, you know, what can we do? I say, well, the first thing you can do is tell everybody you know what you know. And, you know, the other thing is just take each day as it comes, which is all we can do at the moment. We can't make any plans. We've no idea what the state of the world's going to be in 2 weeks' time, let alone in 6 months or a year. We've no idea. We don't know what they've got in store for us, but you can bet your life, whatever it is, it ain't going to be pleasant.
That's right. I do know a lot of people I know quite a few people actually who have had their second doses now and they're still going along fine.
All
A
right,
few
man.
people said they were just tired or didn't feel well. A few people noted their lymph nodes under the arms went up. A few people getting rashes or just feeling sick or whatever, but most are going along. I'm just wondering what's coming. Like, what were they given? I mean, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if that stuff was circulating around my body. I mean, there's no way. And but what I do know, up until this point, and you know, we're nearly at the end of 2021. I have not been threatened, John. I've not been threatened to get it. No one's made me get it, and I'm still living. We're still going through. I've been doing everything that I want to. I've been living my life and things have been difficult and everything, but I'm just, instead of getting negative and letting it drag me down, I just find ways around and find ways to make things work. Because with their restrictions come alternatives, if I may say, ways that you can actually, make things work for you. So there's unlimited potential in all of us. And if they push you out of your job, then you've got to think, well, what do I want to do? What am I good at? What's something? Is this a chance for me to change my life and maybe do something else? Don't get bogged down in that game of fear, and so that's what I've just been trying to stay positive and make it work as best I can to my advantage and our advantage as a family. And move forward. But no one's forced me, I've never been arrested or told to put on a mask or asked a QR code or anything since day one. I've never touched a mask. I've never worn any. I've never done any of it. And I'm still doing that today. Maybe I've just got lucky compared to other people, but I just don't allow it into my reality and I don't play into that game of fear and I don't let it get me down or bother me. And I try to stay positive and I feel like we, talking about it and doing these podcasts and reading books and going to the protests, especially if you feel alone or you feel a bit scared, it's a great place to go to protests and just talk to people, get the conversation rolling and you'll meet some new friends. But it's amazing times. And by this, John, I just mean that it just seems like a massive game of fear. And as we always say, they're getting us at the end of the day, they're engineering us through fear. And they're manipulating us to do all this to ourselves. That's what we always go on about. That we're, if you go in and get that needle in your arm, you did it. And if you get sick, that's your fault. You did it, eh? They're just manipulating you to do that through heavy-handed techniques and fear and levels of fear and propaganda. But geez, people really need to remember what's going on here and man up. Grow a pair of balls. Grow up. And stand up for yourself, because if you don't take your life back and stamp, your life with some authority, then they'll just take it from you. Because as you know,
Exactly.
John, if you don't step up for yourself and speak up for yourself and say something, then they, the system, they take that as a yes,
Exactly.
you're consenting, so you've got to say something. And I've not been forced to do anything as yet. I'm not saying that's not coming, but at this moment, I've not been forced to take a vaccine and I'm still here. So I think people are just giving in too quickly to fear, As soon as their jobs told them you have to get the vaccine or you lose your job, they didn't even say anything, they just did it. But it's like there's lots of avenues you can do. You can, take some leave, take a holiday, and then, see a lawyer or work out what your rights are. And if it doesn't work, work out what you're good at and maybe do something else. There's always things you can do. But it's been very surprising to me, John, how many people have just given in and got their jabs because they think their life is going to be easier. But no, because you're doing a deal with the devil, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. You're negotiating with terrorists, basically.
Yep. That's what I always say. I've used that
Yeah,
line
I
a lot,
know.
John. You don't negotiate with terrorists. But before we go, we'll plug your talk about your book a little bit, and before we plug out. But Yeah, I just want to say that, folks. Don't be scared. You know, don't give into this game of fear. It's a game of fear. They're trying to terrorize people into, you know, into doing what they want. And I feel like things are changing. I really do. I'm seeing a massive change in Australia that I've never seen in my life. And I think it's fascinating. And I think it's an incredible time to be alive. And I think, you know, we just keep moving forward, stay positive. And, you know, if you're in Australia, get to your capital cities this weekend. Perth, incredible. You know, Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney, you know, Darwin, Brisbane, yep. Everywhere. Get down there and meet people, enjoy and make a noise and listen to what these guys are saying and join this and get on the groups on social media and get involved. You can get involved on my website. You can come over on Telegram. We have the Crass Files chat on the Telegram channel, and there's a few hundred in there now, and everybody's just amazing, and they're leaving incredible links there and info that you really need to see. So click on that banner on the website and get over there. We'll finish up today just talking about John's latest book, The Falsification of Science. Our distorted reality, it really is. It really is our distorted reality. We always talk about this book because it's so important. It's such an important book for the day and age we're living in, John. Because science is, it's really incredible. And people do tend to put science and the pharmaceutical corporations and their drugs, up on a pedestal, you know, like it's God. It really is like an incredible cult. You'll meet people now and they're like, are you vaccinated? Do you get your vaccine? Do you get your vaccine? I don't want you in my house. I don't want you around me, you know. It really is like cult status, you know, that you've got to have their injections to be normal again. And it's absolutely insane. And I think this is all in your book, John, indeed, which is an incredible, momentous thing that you've done. And I know you've got another one coming out. But as I've always said, the book that you've done, The Falsification of Science, exactly pinpoints where we are now. And I think it helps people to see what's going on and will give people some tools to understand what is going on and how we may be able to get out of this and see this system as a complete, total, and utter fake reality. It's not just distorted, it's fake. It's not you. And it's not you at all. It's like a fake mirror being held up, and it just sucks you in. And, you know, it's really incredible what they've done. They spread fear and misinformation. They're making people think that they're sick now. When there's nothing wrong with them, and this is done through the TV sets. It's absolutely unbelievable. And then they're going and falling into these injections when they never had an issue with their health. And now they do have an issue with their health because they were injected with poison and they don't understand why they're sick. And it's an incredible thing. And we discussed this on our last show because John was writing this book. But then when the whole COVID thing happened, look where we are now. So I'm thinking that this is going to be incorporated into your next work, John. Because we know so much more now as this goes forward. But how's the book been going? And give us a couple of bullet points of what people can expect from this, The Falsification of Science, your brand new book.
Okay, well, The Falsification of Science, which was published February this year, obviously it doesn't, you know, it's not a massive coverage of the COVID situation, but there is a substantial chapter in there about it, but obviously it only goes so far because at that point in time when it was written, we didn't know exactly where this was going. And we still don't, of course, but things develop and develop. But yeah, there's a massive chapter in there about COVID, but it's not just about COVID. It's about the whole way that science is manipulated to suit the ongoing agenda. You know, I talk about things like the great nuclear weapons hoax. I talk about, you know, the fake theory of evolution, the fake Big Bang theory. I talk about flat Earth. I talk about, you know, I'm not absolutely 100% convinced about flat Earth, but, you know, I give a cogent argument for it, even though I'm not 100% convinced. You know, there are some very compelling pieces of evidence that say that, you know, we are being lied to about that as well. And, yeah, the whole medical paradigm is just fake. You know, all the, you know, the way that diseases are treated, you know, there's something called terrain theory. I cover that in great detail. Cover, you know, historical events, you know, that were driven by science, such as the 1918 fake pandemic that occurred then, you know, the Spanish flu outbreak. And I just go into lots and lots of detail about how we're being basically hoodwinked, and we have been all our lives, by the people who really run the world. And by that I don't mean governments, obviously, because there's people who sit above governments that run the world, and governments, as we kind of covered just now, are just being manipulated and being coerced and bribed into, you know, giving their they're just the puppets, the government. You know, it's the puppet masters who run the world, who pull the government strings, basically. So yeah, that's the falsification of science. But the new book is going to be called Welcome to the Masquerade, which, as you can guess, you know, you may be able to guess what that's about. And it's kind of looking at the whole COVID thing in very much greater detail. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that we've discussed this morning is covered in there, plus much, much more besides as well. And how we're being kind of driven down this road to tyranny. I mean, we're already in tyranny, but, you know, it's getting worse and worse by the day. And, you know, where it's going if they get their way. And I always kind of end up on these podcasts by saying, I actually don't believe that they're going to get their way. I think they will be stopped, because I happen to believe that good always triumphs over evil. And I don't see any difference in this situation either. So, you know, just to end on a positive note, Adam, you know, I think that's exactly what will happen. At some point, there will be a tipping point, people will wake up, and these people will be stopped in their tracks.
I think so too. It's just too intense. It's just too intense what I'm seeing. It's such a, so many people waking up so fast. They're just not buying it anymore. It's not working. So, you know, obviously the system itself becomes more desperate, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing it in Australia with these so-called political leaders. They're becoming more erratic and desperate, which shows me that we're getting to them, you know. So we just have to keep moving forward. And with these books, John, with the, say, for example, I've spoken to some authors before with the Kindle or digital versions, you know, they're able to add updates.
Yes.
Is this something that you ever wanted to do, or like, because I can imagine, does that frustrate you at all when you do this book and then, you know, the weeks later you're like, oh my god, because you're learning so much so fast, or you just go on to the next book that do you want to add things to your last book because you're learning more as the time goes on?
No, what I tend to do is actually, you know, include stuff in a new book rather than a, you know, because. Me, I don't believe my work's sacrosanct in that sense, because I mean, my first book, Falsification of History, which was written, you know, over 10 years ago, there's stuff in there now that I don't necessarily agree with, you know, not much, but little bits. But I don't want to go back and change it, because it's like a snapshot in time. So, but what I do tend to do, Adam, is I update my opinions in my next books and so on, you know. So I've got a whole series of books, obviously. But I tend not to go back and do second editions or make alterations to them. I just like to leave them as they were so that I can look back and see what I believed in at that time. I'm not saying my opinions have gone full circle by any stretch. You know, there are just certain things that I've written in the past and I thought, well, yeah, well, perhaps I was a little bit, under misapprehension at that point, but it's nothing major. If it was an absolute, total 180 degree about face, then I might consider doing that. But they're just minor things, really. So I just tend to correct it.
maybe wanting to add things, you know, like finish the book and then some news comes out about COVID or something and you're like, oh damn.
Yeah, always happens. I mean, that's gonna be, you know, I'm hoping to get that published in January, February, but I'm sure as soon as I, you know, say, right, that's it, final version in for publication, I'm sure the very next day something will happen. And I think, oh my goodness, could have included that. But that's just the very nature of it, isn't it? As we are now. So, or you can
But you'll never be exactly up to the minute with everything. The world changes, you know, and at the moment it's changing rapidly. All
lost
you still there?
Lost you a
no,
bit.
No, I'm there. Here.
There you are again.
Yeah.
Lost you a bit. You went out there.
Okay.
All good now?
Yeah. I don't know how much you missed of what I said.
Just a little bit of the end there.
Yeah, I think I just said that, you know, it's never going to be possible to capture every single up-to-the-minute incident or situation. You know, you're always going to have that situation that wherever you draw the line, you know, a few days later, you know, it's going to be kind of out of date. That's just the way of the world, because the world is changing so fast at the moment.
You're writing a few books, you know. It's not like you're doing a book every 10 years or something. So,
no.
You know, as you said, they're like photos, you know, photos in time at that period, and that's done. And then you're doing another one now. So this is like you're doing like a book a year almost. So
almost, almost. I think, I'm on number 8 now over a period of about 11 years. So, yeah, it's roughly a book a year,
Maybe a year and a half, nearly. Less,
yeah,
sort of thing. But you know, that's a year is a good time. Year and a half or whatever is a good into that next year is a good time to put out a book.
Yeah,
because it's a year which is all these experiences that we have in our life, and a year of your life. That's a whole year. It's a huge thing, you know. And to read a book on that, as you said, it's a snap print in time. That photo image in time that's been taken and to keep and read. So,
some of the books obviously are not subject to that process because, I mean, I wrote about the Titanic.
Different in historical things.
And JFK, you know, I wrote about JFK assassination, and that's not going to change either, is it? You know, so but the stuff like falsification of history, falsification of science, Behind the Curtain, you know, which is my biggest book, and obviously the new one, things are going to change in that. There's no doubt about it. So you just have to deal with what you've got at this moment in time, you know, the now kind of thing.
That's right. Good stuff. And hopefully we can chat before the end of the year, John. I don't know if you'll be available.
Definitely.
I'll check some times with you, maybe before Christmas time or...
sounds good.
Maybe a bit after the middle of December or a bit towards, but I'll email you and check as well if you want to just wrap up the year and...
Yes.
And then maybe we'll wrap up the year and chat about your book, all your books a little bit, just to mention them to the folks. We'll have a little bit of a discussion about these. We've done a few podcasts on different books, JFK and all of this and the Titanic, but you've done lots more, and so it'd be good to sort of connect the dots to where you are now and maybe talk about a little bit of your history as a writer and a little bit more of, you know, how you got into that and everything. A bit of background would be interesting to wrap up to the year and the books that you've done up until now as we move into the next year with brand new books. And it's going to be very interesting times, boy, as we go into the new year, and it's coming very quickly. Anything you want to finish on tonight before we plug out today for you, this morning for you?
I would just like to, if I may, do a plug for, obviously this is not going to be of any use to people elsewhere in the world. This is just a UK thing. So anyone listening in the UK, if they're interested, I'm actually speaking at a conference next month, and it's the weekend of the 17th to the 19th of December. So it's the weekend before Christmas. And this is taking place in a town called Battle in East Sussex, which is near Hastings. And, you know, there's several good speakers there. There's myself, there's Dave Murphy, goes by the name of Allegedly Dave, who quite a few people have heard of, and Mark Devlin, who talks about the insidious influence that the powers that be have over the music industry. the lady called Professor Gloria Moss, who's got a couple of talks, and a couple of other people as well. And if anyone is interested, if you go to my website, which is falsificationofhistory.co.uk, all the details are on there. And yeah, by all means, it would be great to welcome anyone that's interested. We did exactly the same thing last year. It's called Questioning History, and it was an absolutely fantastic event. Everybody absolutely loved it. So yeah, by all means, it would be great to see anyone who's interested there. I appreciate that it doesn't apply to people in Australia, but or indeed the rest of the world. But this is just kind of for the UK folk.
Yeah, that's that is falsificationofhistory.co.uk. I'll put the link up as well. And that event is Questioning History Conference, 17th and 19th of December 2021. And that is the venue of Battle Sussex that will be going on. And the speakers are all written there. Mark Devlin, emailed him, but he was a bit busy to chat at the moment. So hoping I can have a chat with him later. Very, very busy. Busy man.
Yeah. I've just finished proofreading his latest book, actually.
That's right. Seems like a really sweet guy, and was really nice and got back to me. We had a little bit of a chat. So, this is such a fascinating work that he does. So this will be an amazing and very, very enlightening conference. So will you be selling your books there as well?
Absolutely, selling some books there.
So if people are in the UK and get down to that, you can get a signed copy of the book. Why not?
I've got three talks. I'm talking about the history of money, the greatest sleight of hand ever. I'm talking about Shakespeare's real identity, and I'm also talking about the Royal Society and the control of knowledge, which is to do with the falsification of science, obviously, because it's the Royal Society that can. Controls all the scientific, all the scientific norms, all the scientific, all the everything that's laid down by the Royal Society is what goes on in science, and it's about how they control the agenda and the ongoing agenda. So that should be quite interesting as well.
Yeah, it's fascinating. We've been doing a few podcasts about that. We've got another one coming up with our guest Hugh. In December, he's going to be going over mortgages and scam, and it's going to be a bit of a hard pill to swallow for some. But Hugh talks about all of this, the maritime laws and your birth certificate, and all of this incredible stuff, especially all the language they use and the written word, how they're entrapping us and all of this and the energy of that. Yeah. We've had some great podcasts. So it's the history of and power of what they're doing and these secret societies and the money and everything. It really does my head in. I just like to get guests on to explain it and talk about it and get the conversation rolling as I learn more. But it's such a deep thing. It's unbelievable how they're just scamming us. How we're dead at sea, John. Really, after our birth, and the birth certificate is unbelievable, and what they're doing is just incredible. Yeah. How they're tricking us with the wording and how powerful that written word is. It's almost like a magic spell it's sucking our energy and it's really incredible, the whole thing. And they're just doing it anyway. Before we plug out in Australia, they're taking the deeds, John, to your house. They're making them digital so you don't have any paperwork anymore. This is what they're doing in Australia now, the title of your property, your house, they're making it, they're making them digital now. And so you don't have any trail or paperwork to prove that you have it. You own that house. So there's a lot of this going on. We're trying to get the information out to people on, Australia, crown land, and all of this. And, it's just so deep, and it gives me a headache, to be honest. But your talk there on the Royal Society and control of knowledge would be really fascinating, I think. And I think this history and control of money is just mind-boggling. It's something that I would love to concentrate on next year for people, because it's this whole money thing is really how they got us, you know, and how criminal this is. And I think it's falling to pieces. And I think conferences like this, where people are telling people and explaining things, they're starting to get it. And all this common law stuff, and people seeing what their rights are and how we're being tricked and scammed here. It's like a magic trick, is a really phenomenal thing. And you know, years ago, you just wouldn't have heard of this. And now it's all so in your face. And to do conferences like this is amazing at venues, and people can go in and see that. It's absolutely awesome. So that will be a great event, and good luck for that. And I don't know, are you doing those talks on the one day, or are they different days?
It's spread over. It begins at 4 p.m. on the Friday evening, you know, with the introduction and registration. Then it's all day Saturday, and then it ends at 4 p.m. on the Sunday. So it's kind of one full day, two part days, two evenings.
Wow.
And you know, yeah, and it's at a really lovely venue, a really beautiful country house in the countryside in East Sussex. So yeah, like I said, last year it was a great event. Everybody thoroughly enjoyed it, and it was so uplifting. And I suspect it will be the same again this time too.
Good work. It's going to be great. And be great to get your experiences on that, and what an incredible event! So good luck for that, mate, and will be an awesome one, and we'll plug in again on the next podcast.
Absolutely,
to continue our chats. And yeah, I'll put all your information up for our listeners out there, and also where you can contact John via email if you wish, for any questions or anything, and mention the Kras Files. And also, if you would like, wherever you are in the world, if you want a hard copy signed book of John's, any of John's books. I don't know if that's true, John, any of your books, if you have them, but definitely the new book.
Yeah,
but if you have your mix of books, you know, Behind the Curtain and the Titanic book, that's been a really popular one. And I know you were on with the General at Real News Australia. Hi to those guys, talking about that. That's been a popular book. And I've heard some people mentioning that recently, actually, the Titanic, it's popped up again. You wouldn't think so, but there you go. People are interested in history, and these things really matter, and it's great to cover them. But I'll put all that information up for our listeners. And if you want a hard, you know, one of those books, John can send it to you. Just got to email him and work that out, and he'll send it over to you. And it's a really nice thing to have. So we'll chat again on the next one, buddy. So stay safe and enjoy that great conference.
Thanks very much, Adam. It's been a pleasure as always.
Thanks, mate.
You're welcome, buddy.
We're renting here for our business, and it's all falling apart, so we have to be, you know, it's just too expensive, and it's better to be in our own place, you know, with no rent or anything. So we wanted to go down for a year down to Northern Patagonia. And stay there, and but you know, flying there and the testing you've got to do and the tracking, and it's just crazy. It's getting out of the airport and putting a little one through that. So we're just kind of working out the best place to be at the moment. But I just don't want to be around a big city. But you know, in saying that, it's, and going to the protests and having hundreds of thousands of people around you, 100,000 people, 150 or 70,000 people who are on our side, it's kind of good, you know, as well, you know.
Oh, yeah. it's a good feeling, isn't it? Yeah.
Being around awake people who are all waking up together, you know, you fight together. But Sydney's just very expensive, and you know, our lives are falling apart a little bit here, so we're just carrying on and waiting for that moment that we could make a little bit of a move. That's also not too bad. Still getting through okay and doing fine, really. We'll just see where they go. It's they're just a bunch of weirdos. It's weird how they're keep playing this game, you know. It's the government's your best friend now. You know, our Prime Minister Scott Morrison, he's up there saying that you know, he he, if you're not vaccinated, he doesn't want anybody. It's made world news. He doesn't want anyone. He doesn't want you to be outcast or segregated or bullied or anything. He wants all the states to open up and everything to go back to normal. You know, he wants an end to this and open up the country and go back to the way you were. And he wants government to step back, gone, and you to take your life back. So we had Senator Pauline Hanson with the One Nation Party do a bill just for that the other day, and it got turned down in Parliament, and he didn't say anything. And now we have apparently the military going into Indigenous, you know, communities, and he hasn't said anything. So he's a coward. You know, he's telling you that, you know, we want this to happen, but I don't know. It's really weird. Apparently, they're taking it all out, so which might be a good chance for us around early next year to make a bit of a move. We'll see how we go. Not too far. It's just you know, it's just up you know, up the coast in Queensland.
Yeah.
And we'll see how we go. But like you did, you know, just that bit of a move and change.
Yeah.
It's always good to, you know, I know yours was a little bit different, but it's good to have a little bit of a change and but all good. I'll be here for the rest of this year and into next year anyway, in the belly of the beast.
Indeed.
With every, maybe I'll go down with a ship. We'll see. You know, but as you said, it's not a time for travel overseas anyway. I think we'll just wait, see how it goes. My wife wants to see her family and everything, but we'll just wait. It's just too weird.
Yeah.
I'm not jumping through 1,000 hoops of fire, you know, and getting that stuff shoved up my nose and getting tracked to where you are and text messages. It's just stupid, you know.
That's right.
So we'll just wait it out. Maybe we'll never get to travel again. I don't know how severe they're going to make it. I have no idea. I just don't want to get on a plane at the moment, mate. You know, I'm sure you're the same. I love Australia. I'm sure you love your part of the world. And I'm just going to stay put for a while and wait this out and see where we go. You know,
be smart
about it, and get your affairs in order. And look after your family, you know, and take it easy. There's no use in worrying about traveling and everything. We have to stick together and beat this, I think. I think this is the time we have to buckle down and try and push this back. And I think they've done an excellent job in the UK, because God knows where you guys could have been now if those people didn't get out there, you know. They didn't get their passports through, and they didn't get a lot of it through because millions of people stood out there and they pushed them back. And now it's kind of in a no man's land. So that was really interesting what the people in the UK and London did, you know. I'm sure Boris would have had his vax passports and everything in now, and he hasn't. So there you go. You know, are they going to do it? Because people know now and they're not going to have it. So we're in interesting times.
This is what I meant about, you know, them changing their agenda as it goes along, because you know, they have to wait and see what the reaction is. They can't just blunder into it, because the, you know, it's a tactical, psychological game, isn't it? You know, they can't just, you know, do things without you know, a degree of public support. And if they don't have that public support, they know they're not going to win. So they have to bide the time and then adjust the sights a little bit and all that stuff, you know. So
yeah, but the more time they wait, then the more people wake up to it, you know?
Yeah.
So God knows if it will work. We'll see. We'll see.
Exactly.
It's very interesting times, exciting times, really. Good talking, buddy. Take care. Have a good day.
You too.
Have a good day.
Yeah, all the best, mate. We'll speak soon.
Chat soon, buddy.
Cheers. Bye-bye.